The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John wore a camel-haired garment with a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, one who is more powerful than I am is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Brandy. Good morning. Before we begin, I just want to say it's really good to see everyone. I mean, I guess I can't really see those online, but in terms of being up here, it has been a bit. I think probably this time last year was probably the last time I was up here speaking. And so for those of you that are watching on your phone or on your TV, please remember that they say a camera adds 20 to 30 pounds. So I'm actually way skinnier than what it looks like. And I think I read that it actually makes your hair look thinner as well. So I'm just throwing that out there right at first. So it has been a while to talk, and all I can say is 2020. What a year, right? What a year. At least we have an answer now for everything that we didn't want to do and we still haven't done it. Did you start eating right this year? 2020. You start working out? You know, 2020. The thing in the garage that you were supposed to fix that you told your spouse you would fix? 2020. I might have had some spouses really looking at that point. But it's like, you know, a straight up legitimate excuse now. You say that and people are like, oh, well, yeah, true, 2020. It is what it is. It's been a crazy, crazy time. But in all truth, I believe 2020 has been probably one of the most trying and stressful years that so many of us have ever been a part of. We've been asked to pretty much change the way that we live. It's tested our patience, our strength, our loyalties, and even our love for one another. We've seen so many people lose their jobs. We've seen so many people lose loved ones. We've seen so many people not able to see their loved ones. You know, that idea, whatever you want to say, knock on wood, whatever, that idea of this virus coming real close to home has not really occurred for us, and obviously clearly the walls are coming in recently. But so the idea of this affecting really didn't hit home for me until a few months ago. Hogan and I was at the baseball field and we're, you know, doing some baseball practice stuff. And we leave and we want to go to Sonic to get a drink. And so we're driving down that road and we drive by the nursing home, and I really saw a family outside in the cold communicating with their loved one who was inside, desperately wanting a hug, desperately wanting a touch, desperately wanting to share their love physically with each other and not able to do it. this year has just stunk for so many reasons, in all reality. And in my opinion, this year has tried and tried to push out the absolute worst in us as a society. From the pandemic to the election, and all of the stuff that occurred in between there, I've personally never seen so much encouragement for division, for anger, for hatred. What? They didn't vote the way you did? Well, it's only because they're idiots and don't care for your country. What? They don't agree with how you're handling this pandemic? Get away from them. No longer associate yourself with them. They are now your enemy. And this isn't just with Facebook acquaintances that you never really see. We've seen this with coworkers who get so mad at each other. We see this with people who go to the same church with each other that get so frustrated and mad at each other. We even see this with families who have gotten so mad at each other, have chosen not to have a relationship any longer. And this just crushes me, because I'm the guy that likes to say, can't we all just get along? I mean, that's me. That's my personality. And so when I see not just the world in friction with each other, but more importantly, people and loved ones in my world that are at friction with each other, it breaks my heart. Never before in my life have I been one of those people who sit there and say, man, I'm just ready for Jesus to come back. But seeing the tension, the loneliness, the bitterness that we've seen, that I've seen over the last few months, I might have caught myself thinking just that. Advent is the time where we find ourselves in the church calendar. Advent is a time before Christmas that we're encouraged to look back. We're reminded through the Old Testament scriptures of how God's people waited. They waited for the one who could make everything right, the one who would bring peace and joy and salvation to all mankind. We see how God continued this promise, the promise that he continued to give them in Jesus. We saw it, and there was numerous times in the Old Testament saying, I will give this to you, but you must wait. And then finally, the promise was answered in Jesus, who came and showed us how to live as a people of God, and then made that possible for us through the cross and the resurrection. And now, our church tradition believes that Jesus, while he came and began the journey of complete peace, complete joy, complete unity, complete forgiveness, complete love for each other, it will not be completed, if you will, until Jesus comes back again. And so we find ourselves waiting for that to happen, finding ourselves in a similar boat as those in the Old Testament, waiting for Jesus. We hear are waiting for Jesus to come back. So what do we do while we wait? I have to be honest with you, I am not very good at waiting. And to say I'm not very good is a dramatic understatement. Who am I kidding? I hate to wait. And it's not my fault, right? I can literally get on my phone right now and purchase whatever my precious heart's desire is. And it will be here, if not today, tomorrow. Instant gratification. That's what we're accustomed to now. So the idea of having to wait for something or having to put effort into something that I won't see the results instantaneously, what do our British friends say? Absolute rubbish. Or is it? Is it possible that the things you wait for are the things that matter? Are the things that you must slowly, patiently put effort into the only things that actually last and have value? Brandy read earlier from Mark. See, in the book of Isaiah, God made a promise that there was someone coming before Jesus who would prepare the way. We know now that that person was John the Baptist. He came to make sure the world knew who was about to come and change everything. So I believe we find ourselves now in a similar time, waiting for Jesus to come back, to put all this back together, to make everything right, to complete the story of love and forgiveness. Maybe there needs to be another John. Maybe we're the ones who are being asked to prepare the way, to show people that someone has come and is coming again, and this person, Jesus Christ, he changes everything. So how do we do that? Well, folks, I'm not the smartest. I'm literally just a dude who sells shirts. So I'm probably not the greatest person who should be up here saying any of this. But I can tell you what I think the world needs from us to show them this. I think it needs more grace. I think it needs more grace. I read a quote that said, I think my job is to make the grace of an invisible God visible wherever I am. I think my job is to make the grace of an invisible God visible wherever I am. So what if you think your friends or family or church are getting the pandemic things wrong? Still give them grace. It's not like we've ever done this before. We're all starting at ground zero, right? This is all trial. We're all trying to figure this out together. And this is no reason to think ill of them or judge them or make fun of them. Grace. And I understand that those who voted differently than you clearly are not as intelligent and have been fooled. Grace. We don't have to cut ties and consider them our enemy, no matter what that one specific Facebook page tells you. Remember the times that you had with those people. the times of laughter and love, the times where you served one another or served others with each other. There's nothing more powerful, in my opinion, than those who may disagree with each other continue to serve with each other and continue to love each other. That's a picture of grace. We all need more grace, and we all need to offer more grace. And maybe that grace is found in a text or a phone call. I know, phone call. I had a friend send me a meme just this week that says, "With the most sincerest of hearts, if you need to tell me something that can be in a text, don't call." We don't like calling anymore. But maybe it's with a phone call. Maybe it's with a visit, proper social distancing, of course, with a visit to someone. Maybe it's unknowingly to anyone else, you choosing to offer grace with something that you may have that someone else is in need of. Grace. We are all in need of more grace, and we all are in need of offering more grace, especially to those that we might not see eye to eye with. The other way of preparing the way of showing the world the love and grace of Jesus is waiting. Now, I just told you how much I hate like waiting as in twiddling your thumbs, so trust me, that's not what I'm talking about. Not talking about the idea of just twiddling your thumbs. I'm talking about waiting as someone who comes to your table at a restaurant and says, "How can I help you today? What can I get you?" As we wait on the coming of Christ, may we wait on those who he loves. There's a lot of needs out there, folks. There's a lot of people who are lonely. There's a lot of people who are overwhelmed with the situation that we find ourselves in. There's a lot of people who are struggling financially, physically, emotionally. May we find ways to wait on them, as in serve them. But to do this, we must lay down the idea that my life is all about me, and that my life is all and should be all about what I want. That is the message that is so pushed so much in our society. May we understand that if we want to prepare the way, that idea we must fight to get rid of. For me to wait on those who are in desperate need in this world, I have to understand that it is not about me. A few stories, and I'll be done. There is so much information being given. And even about what I talked about right at first, there's so much to say how bad it is. And I'm not necessarily going to disagree with that. But there are plenty of stories to remind us that there is hope. Of those who have been overwhelmed by the love and grace of God, that it only came natural for them to share that, for them to be a blessing in return. I saw on Facebook a few days ago a friend driving to work. And as she drove to work, she noticed regularly someone walking early in the morning, very cold. So she did what a lot of us would do, ask people on Facebook, does anyone know this person? Can I help them? And that got going to where this conversation became so beautiful of over and over people saying, please let me know, what can I do to help this person? What can we give? What do they need? What does their family need? Over a simple Facebook page. I get a text out of the blue on Wednesday or Thursday of this week of a buddy that's saying, hey, community of Total, my friends, I have become aware, been made aware of someone in our community that is in need. Text after text after text. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. Just let me know what you need. I'm in. Over and over. And guess what? I probably don't see things exactly the way they see things. But I'm in on us coming together and finding ways to make a difference in this world. Amen. That's preparing the way. We have seen a dramatic increase in our food pantry over the last couple months. I would dare to say that I think the skyrocketing stock market, it's probably not the best descriptor of really how well our economy is doing. Over the first few months of this year, maybe even half of this year, we would see anywhere from 70 to 80, 85 families come through that would say, hey, I'm just trying to make ends meet. I need a little help. And so we have a box of food for them. Over the past two and a half months, we've seen that number increase from anywhere to 120 to 145 families every week coming here because they no longer can make ends meet. Not the people that's just trying to suck the system dry, from people that are working that can't seem to make ends meet or have been let go from their job that can't seem to make ends meet. And so what happens? So as you, most of you know, we then, for Christmas, always want to do the big deal of buying gifts for these precious children of these families. And normally we're anywhere from 95 to 110 children that we, not just our church, people from all over the community. Now this year, it's going to be like 145 people. But guess what? Responses from all over this community asking how they can help, asking for one, for two, asking for a whole family, doing whatever they can do to give these wonderful children a brighter day when it comes to Christmas. Maybe we are to be the John, to prepare the way, as in showing people what this love and this kindness and this forgiveness that we say has changed us, right? Has made us new. Maybe we get to be, not has to, we get to be the ones to show that grace and that love to those in our world. We get to do that. And in our call to prepare the way, may I share the words of the wise Gandalf from Hobbit, who says, some believe it is only great power that can hold evil in check. But this is not what I have found. I have found it is in the small things. Everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keeps the darkness at bay. Simple acts of kindness and love. May we find those who we may have damaged relationships with and work on healing them. Simple acts of kindness and love. May we find those who have been on our heart to just have a conversation with, because we know they're lonely, we know they're heartbroken, we know they're in need. Simple acts of kindness and love that show the world that Jesus truly does change everything.